Okay, so let's just finish up a couple more details in Hilchos Kriya, and then we'll move on from there. The Gemara has on Daf Kaf Beis of the Beis, a Machlokes Tanakam and Rishon ben Elazar about whether there's a difference between Kriya for a man and Kriya for a woman. That halfway down on Kaf Beis of the Beis, the Gemara says, Echad Ish Echad Isha. Kriya, according to Tanakam, is the same for man and woman. And Shimon Lazar says, no, that a woman's kriya is different than a man's kriya. For a woman's kriya, she rips the lower garment, and then she turns it around such that the rip is now on the back, and then she rips the upper garment so that there's no straight line of rip from the outer through the inner garment. Presumably, as we'll see, that's a function of tzias, that the concern is that if a woman would be karas as normal by avi imo, where you're karas ad halev, with the exception of afir krasusa, which was the previous line in the Gemara, whatever that is, so then that might potentially be a chisaron of tzias for woman if she were to be karas ad halev straight, and therefore Shimon Lesser says she doesn't do it the normal way. She rips the lower garment, turns it around, and then rips the overgarment, the outer garment. How do we paskin? So Tosas writes here on the bottom, Echad Ish V'Echad Isha. Tosas Arav Posek Yoshim and Lazar. Dalacha Kedivri Ameko. V'lo Yadana Maik Amar Delakaman Arminan Avela Sechub Yerkilachet. So Tosas quotes one of the Bali Tosas who passed like Yoshim and Lazar because Halacha Kedivri Ameko the Avel. Even though sounds like Tosas would have assumed, or the default assumption should be, that we paskin like Rabbim over the Yachid. And our Tosas disagrees and says, Avel Sechud Rukia Lechud, Halacha Kedivri Mekel B'Avel, but not Halacha Kedivri Mekel B'Kriya. Beis Yossi points out that Mistima Slashan a Rambam, it sounds like the Rambam paskins like Tanakama because the Rambam isn't Mechalik between Ish V'Isha. And that's the Psak of the Mordechai as well. Simin tough kuf dalit, like the Tanakhama, that there's no distinction between kriya of a man, kriya of a woman. If that's the case, that there's no distinction, meaning lahalach, if we were to pass like Tanakhama, and either way, the basis of Shita's Tanakhama doesn't distinguish, what about the chisaron of tznius in a normal kriya for a woman? So the Mordechai writes, tough kuf dalit, Ein lachush leher hura, de ein yetzer hara nigri vishas tsara. That the normal concern that this type of kriya would lead to a choser tznias, would lead to hear her, that's not relevant in our context, in a kriya context, because the yetzer hara is not megara vishas tsara. In the Tosas Rimi Pariz, he has this answer, and he has a second answer as well. Tosarimi Pariz here on Kafdalid Amud Beis. Let's bring it up on the screen. Vintomar. Kevin de Ishanami Karas Kula and Vesarach Lakro Achit Tagala Liba Kidarmina Lael. Lakavanami Armina and Jal Aviv Al Iyo Vesarach Lakro Mi Bachutz Kulomar Chutz Lechedel Lefnei Am in public. Etc. Fine. So second teretz is afakrisusa is not ma'akid. So according to the pshat that afakrisusa is a begadzeya, which is an undergarment. So even if the woman would be karas all her upper garments up until the undergarment, but that begadzeya is still going to not be touched, and therefore that won't leave her lathe magula, and that wouldn't be a chisaron of snias. So that's second teretz as to why, according to Tanna Kamma, we're not concerned about the potential chisaron and tznias if a woman were to be karasd in the normal fashion. Reb Sri Dublitsky, in his Sicha Mitzalel, points out the following possible nafkamina between these two reasons of having a begazeya versus ein yetzer hara megara b'shas hatzara. What happens when it comes to kriya ala chorban, kriya on arei Yerushalayim b'chorbana, kriya on the makom mikdash b'chorbana? So according to the Rambam, we don't paskin like kriya al chorban is equivalent to kriya al aviv ima. So we paskin that it's like kriya al aviv ima as far as the makom kriya, but we don't paskin as far as the achigala zaleh. But the Rambam does. So according to the Rambam, that kriya for makom mikdash requires ripping out a lev, then suggests the zichah mitzalel if the reason that a woman would be karasd as normal, according to Tanna Kamma, is ena yetzer hara megara b'shas hatzara. Presumably, that's only talking about a personal, immediate tzara where there is a meis lefaneinu, a immediate ptira that we're reacting to. But if we're talking about kriya ala chorban, that's not something you wouldn't say there that ena yetzer hara megara b'shas hatzara. But if the reason that we're not concerned about chosur tznias is because you're not touching the begazeya, that would be equally relevant when it comes to kriya ala chorban as it is for kriya ala meis. Now, that's a theoretical nafkamina because we don't pass on like the Rambam when it comes to kriya ala chorban anyway. But he says within Shitas Rambam, or within those that are machmir, to be korea achig ala salev by kriya ala chorban, that could be an nafkamina between these two ta'amim. The Bach understood that the Rif did not see a machlokas here. According to the Rif, there's no machlokas Tanna Kamma and Rishon ben Elazar. The way the Rif quotes this halacha is Echad Ish v'Echad Isha, which is a lashon we have in the Gemara of Tanna Kamma. Divrei Rishon ben Elazar, Rishon ben Elazar Omar, etc. So the Bach understood in the Rif that he didn't present it as a machlokas, but Echad Ish v'Echad Isha subject to Rav Shimon Elazar's distinction, and the Rif quotes that as Divrei Rav Shimon Elazar, meaning Echad Ish v'Echad Isha are Mechuyavim in Kriya, but there's a difference in the Ofen HaKriya between Ish and Isha. And both the Torah and following in the Mechaber, Paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar, not like the Stima Sarambam, either because the Rif held there's a machlokas, or because the other Rishon in the Paskin, the other Balei Tos of the Paskin, like Rav Shimon Elazar. So that's how we have in Shulchan Aruch that there is a difference between Kriya of an Ish and Kriya of an Isha. That's what the Mechaber writes in Seif Yud Aleph, Shin Mem Yud Aleph. Echad Ish, Echad Isha, Shavim Linyan Kriya, Ella. Sheisha karasa tachton and machziras alachreha b'chazeres the karas ha'elya. So the Bach asks, this is the flip side of what we just saw in the second teretz of Tosos, review the Miparis. The Bach asks, if Afar Kesuso is a begadzeya, and the woman is wearing a begadzeya underneath, so why does she need to be machzira esakara? Meaning, if the premise of Shita Shimon Elazar, which the Torah Mechaber passes like lalacha, is that to tear in the normal ways of chisaron or kriya, and the woman's wearing a begadzeya, and the begadzeya is pater from kriya, so then what's the concern to begin with? What's the chisaron tznias that Shimon Elazar is bothered by? So the Bach says that no, apparently you see that even if you have a beged zeya, but it's still a chisaron of tznias to expose the beged zeya. And the Zichah Mitzalel points out that it's mashman the ritva that in a chanami, if a woman wears a beged zeya, so then you wouldn't need to be machzir the beged tachto. But that wasn't the norm for a woman to wear begazeh. And in that situation, that's where Shimon Elazar says, you need to do this trick. Rav Avadia, in a couple places, including in a tshuva that he wrote to the Tzitz Eliezer, that's printed in Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yudei Simen Samachay, Chelek Yudei Simen Samachay. It is also in one of the tshuvas, Yabi Omer, that I don't have in front of me now. I think it's in Chelek Dalet Yeredeya. But Rav Avadia criticizes that which apparently was a practice in Baghdad, the Baghdad of the Ben Ishchai, that women didn't hear kriya at all. And he criticizes that as being against the Gemara, that there is a way that a woman tears kriya, but to say that a woman shouldn't hear kriya at all, that is against Dina, the Gemara. So in practice, what is the recommended way for a woman to tear kriya? So the Zichron Mitzal again writes as follows, that when it comes to shar krovim, where there's no din of ashigala salei, where you only rip the outer beged anyway, so then he says the recommended procedure would be that a woman rips tears kriya on the outer beged. Outer beged means whatever she would normally walk around with, both in the house and in the street. And then she can cover that with a coat. So she rips the garment that she walks around the house in, and then she can cover that with a coat. If that's not practical, because she'll be too warm, it's the summer, and that's creating an extra layer that's going to be uncomfortable. So then she can reattach, she tears kriya, and then she can put it back together again with a safety pin. That's the din, that a woman is allowed, even though in general, you can't be sholel alter, you can't re-sew a kriya for shar krovim during Shiva, for avivimo forever, but when it comes to women, we're makel on that, so then she could put it back together with the safety pin. And for avivimo, where the din is called begadash, yigala saleh. So if a woman is wearing more than one layer of a beged that will be mechuyev in kriya, so then she could do the same thing tear whatever needs to be teared, and then either cover that with a coat or use a safety pin. So I think that is a common practice, especially in most situations. A typical dress would not involve more than one layer that's mechuyev in kriya. So I think the common practice is to tear kriya and then immediately fasten it back together with a safety pin. Okay. I'm sorry, again?
So if she just put on a shirt instead of like a coat,
right?
Then she'd just be mechuyev to rip that second shirt.
Is that why? A shirt that's worn as a shirt, that's a regular bag that you walk around in, then you'd be mechuyev to rip that also. Yeah.
So the code is to get around that issue because you're not mechuyev to rip a coat. Okay.
Right.
Ready?
Michael.
If she puts on a shell or a kikiriki or something like that, would that solve the issue?
For avivim, is that considered a begadzei or is that considered a regular malbush?
I don't think anyone would walk around in that. I think it's
for the non-married chaver. What's a kikiriki?
A shell. No, but that wouldn't be. Right. So that probably anyway would be a begadzeya, I think. Right. So it's probably not mechuyev in kriya. But is that a chisar and sneas to leave that exposed? It might still be a level of chisar and sneas to leave that exposed, in which case then you're back to the safety pin. Asha, you want to say something?
Yes. I don't remember if we discussed last time, but we said that the Sha'as Kriya, there is a Sha'as Kriya, whether that be Lefnei HaMeis or later. So if you put on a garment like the second or third day of Avelus, you have to be koreit, like you have to tear it also?
Yeah, so any garment that you wear during Shiva is mechuyav and kriya. I mean, that's what we briefly noted previously, that there are two elements of kriya. There's a chiyav kriya. There's also to wear the begadim kruim during Shiva. So if it's a bag that's mechuyav and kriya that you put on a noose, so then you'd have to be koreya that during Shiva. Correct. Okay. And just then one final thing in the siman towards the end, Sif Lamuches, Harova Are Yehuda B'Chorbanan or Yerushalayim of Beis HaMikdash Chayim L'Krova. So that this appears also in the end of Hilchos Tisha B'Av in our Chayim Tafko Samach Aleph. There's a Chiyuv of Kriya for Are Yehuda B'Chorbanan for Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash. So since 1967, when Yerushalayim and for the most part, Are Yehuda have been under Israeli sovereignty, so most poskim assume that there's no chiyuv kriya for Are Yehuda Yerushalayim. Are Yehuda after Oslo, where certain territories are given to the Palestinians, some level, that might become more of a shaila of whether the chiyuv kriya, but ultimately, to the extent that Israel still has security control, it's arguable that there's no chiyuv kriya there, but the chiyuv kriya definitely still exists for Beis HaMikdash B'Chorbana. What's considered to be Beis HaMikdash B'Chorbana? What triggers the Chiyuv Kriya? So again, back to Zichron Mitzalel, he points out Machlokas among the later Sfarim. He quotes Yerubichim Michal Tukachinsky, one of his Sfarim was Sefer Eretz Yisrael. So he writes over there that in order, the trigger for Kriya Al Makam Mikdash is seeing the Makam Hazara, not just seeing the Har Habayis, not seeing the Kosel, but seeing the Makam Hazara. He says maybe you really need to see the actual floor of the Hazara, which would be hard to do from any standard vantage point. But then he says, and he says, not even just seeing the mosque, we need to see the floor of the Azara. But he acknowledges that the Bach doesn't say that way. The Bach in Arachayim in Siman Tav Kaf Samach Aleph says that just seeing the Kuba, which I think is a reference to the mosque, is sufficient to trigger the Chiyuv Kriya. And I think common practice, what Zichron Mitzalel says, bottom line, is just seeing the Kosel is probably enough to trigger the Chiyuv Kriya. But he says probably better when you come to the Kosel to also look up, at least to see the mosque. And then he thinks you would be Yotzei Choladeus at even Mechuyev and Kriya at that point. Okay. So let's move on to Simon Shin Ayin Ches and the Din of Suda Savra. And from here, we'll try more or less to go straight to the end. And then as time allows, you may go back and pick up a couple of the other points earlier, like Nicham Avelim and Kaddish in Shinai Vav and a little bit earlier. Okay, so let's talk about Suda Savra now. The Gemara on Daf Kav Zayin on the Beis has a memra of Rabbi Huda that Avel Yom Rishon Aser Lecha Lecha Mishalo. And Avel on the first day of Avelis is not allowed to consume his own bread. Based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, v'lechem anashim lo sochel. So we learn a lot of nihugei avelus from the converse of what Yecheskel was instructed. Yecheskel was told to be knowing an avelus contrary to standard nihugei avelus. So we deduce what standard nihugei avelus are from what Yecheskel was told to do. So Yecheskel was told, don't eat other people's bread. So Gemara learns out from there that a regular Avel is supposed to be eating other people's bread. So again, the Gemara says, Avel Yom Rishon, Asur Lecha 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 Nishalo. So we'll see, Machlokes, what does Yom Rishon mean? What does Asur mean? And what does Lecha mean? So aside from those 3 points of dispute, everything else is Muskam. But we'll have to figure out what does Yom Rishon mean, what does Asur mean, and what does Lecha mean. So Tosfos writes, Dira Maskel Yom Rishon, Kazayin Mabez, that the Isser of eating your own bread applies the entire Yom Rishon, even if you're going to eat multiple meals, because the Gemara doesn't say Suda Rishona, it doesn't say Suda Rishona, Asur Lecha Lecha Mishalo, it says Avol Yom Rishon. So sounds like the entire first day of Avelos, an Avel is not allowed to consume its own lechem. That's what Tosfos writes on Kafa Med Aleph as well, Dibur Maskel Shakvar. Again, Kaf Zayin of Beis, Dibur Maskel Yom Rishon, Kafa Med Aleph, Dibur Maskel Shakvar. And that's Mashmas of the Rambam as well, Perek Dalet Alachates. The Rambam tells you, what are the Nihugi Avelos that are noeg on day one of Avelos? Ha'avel B'Yom Rishon B'Vad, Asir Laniach Tfilin V'Lachol Mishalo. He's not allowed to wear tefillin the entire first day, and he's not allowed to eat his own food. So it sounds like that's also the entire first day, like Tosfos. And Rekiv Eger on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch quotes the same thing from the Rokeach. However, the Rush, in Siman Pei Tes assumes that this din of Sudas, the din that is Asur Lechol Mishalo, only applies to the Suda Rishona. And that's the psak of the Mechaber in Sif Aleph. Avel asu lechol mishalo b'suda rishona. Avel b'shnei amuter afilu b'yom rishon. So the issur of eating mishalo only applies to the first suuda, not the entirety of the day. Beis Yosef explains that he paskins like the Rush over the other Bali Tosos because halacha k'divrei amekel v'avel. What about Tosfos' diuk that it says Avel Yom Rishon is supposed to Suda Rishona? The Beis Yosef says that's not such a strong raya because sometimes Yom Rishon could reference a Suda Rishona as well. Gemarim Sachem Lam Vavim and Aleph in the context of Matzah Ashira. So there the Gemara says that Ein Lashin B'chalav B'yom Rishon, that you can't have matzah that's kneaded with milk, B'yom Rishon. And there, Yom Rishon means the first Suda of Pesach, the Suda Slel HaSeder, but it doesn't mean that Mekar Adin, there's an Isser of Matzah Shira for the entirety of the first day. So that's at least a model where sometimes you can have the term Yom Rishon, it doesn't mean the entire day, it means the initial Suda. Okay, now back to that Rambam. The Zasogas arrived on the Rambam that we just quoted, where the Rambam said, "Avil b'yom rishon b'vad asher l'niach tefillin v'lechol mishalo v'chayiv leishev al mita kfuya." The Rambam continues, as opposed to shar yimei avil, where he can eat mishalo, he can sit on the ground, he can be maniach tefillin, etc. Says the Ravid, v'chayev leishev al mita kefuya. Amar Avram, lo re'isi shoresh lazeh. So the pashtus of the Yasagas Ravid is that he's going on this din of sitting on a mita kefuya. The Rambam says you have to sit on a mita kefuya b'yom rishon, and the Ravid says no such, no makor for that. Mita kefuya we'll get to b'hemshech. However, the Chuas HaRadvaz, Chelek Vav, Simon Beis, 2273. So the Radvaz quotes Migdal Oz. La Yada, Kavanas HaSaga, Kasher Mavur B'lshana. Aval Kavanas HaSagaso, Dimash Milashin Avenu, Shekol Yom Kulo Asir Lachol Mishalo. So the Radvaz thinks that the Dibur Maskel, so to speak, in the Sagas Arayvid is misplaced. And the Sagas is not going on Mita Kfuya, but going on the Isser of Achila Mishalo B'yom Rishon. And the Arayvid means to be Masig, that there's only an Isser B'suda Rishona and not the entire first day. What about, and again, so we saw the Psak and Mechaber is like the Rush, that the Isser only applies to the Suda Rishona. What if the Suda Rishona takes place on day two? Is what if the Kvura takes place towards the end of day one, and then by the time you get back to the house, it's already evening? So the Mechaber writes in Sif Gimel, let's say the Avil doesn't want to eat anything on the first day. He wants to fast on the first day. That's his prerogative. And then once you get to day two, there's no further restriction and he can eat Mishalo, even his Suda Rishona, which is on day two. Says the Shaks of Katan Hay, Mutu Lachal Biyom Sheni. Oh, Belaila Sha'achar Yom Rishon Nishalo Afilu Suda Rishona. So even if that Suda Rishona is after night from day one into day two, even if he didn't eat anything on day one, there is no further restriction with eating whatever he wants Mishalo on day two. There's no Isra Mishalo / no Chiyav of or no Din of Suda Sabra. That's what the Torah quotes from the Ramban. And the Mordechai writes as follows in Tav Pei. Matzasi b'shem Rabbeinu Yontif Miyoni Ritva, Sha'amar b'shem Rabbeinu Tam, Sh'im ichru la'avel lechol yom rishon ad alayla, that if they didn't get around to eating until it became night, the ein ma'avrin b'alayla. So there's no suda savra at night. Hevi Rayim Dachsiv Vayavo Amlav Roses David Boda Yom Chiyami Paris Pirish Kikain Hayam and Hogo Shall Riva Shayat Sam Kol Yom Rishon Adalayla Yan Shall Arasa Lihanus Shalachayr. That the Riva did this Lechachila. He didn't want to bother. He didn't want to be nana from anyone else's food. There's an issue of eating Mishalo and Yom Rishon. So the Riva fasted on the first day of Avelus, that he wouldn't have to bother being nana from anyone else. And then he just had a regular meal, Mishalo, at the conclusion or after day one was over. And the Ritva writes as follows in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Amud Beis. So the Ritva quotes from Rashbam that just like when it comes to Aninas, machlokas whether Aninas Laila deraisa or derabanan, but bottom line there is a din of Aninas Laila. So the din of Aninas min haTorah that an oni is not allowed to eat kachim or ma'aser sheni on the day of his Aninas. So either midaraisa or midarabanan that extends to the following night. It says the Ritva. The nira shua din leinyan avra tofes leilo b'chol im chazu achar bein hashmashas. So the Ritva says the same should be true when it comes to suda savra, that if the kfur was bayom, and then by the time they got home, it's already Achar Ben Hashmashas. There's still a din of Suda Savra slash an Isser Lechol Mishalo during that Suda Rishona. If you look in the Piskei Tshuva, Sifkata, and Beis, he quotes the Tshuva, no, the Behuda, Misha Meso Meis, the cover Oso Balayla, Mavin Oso Balayla, Vimlo Achal Balayla, Mavin Oso, Vyom Sha'acharath. The Dafka Benitcha Yamarisha, and Amaramad, Ein Sara Chavra, Balayla. Right, I forgot to read the Ramah there on Sifkei Amud. The Ramah wrote, "V'chein lo evu b'yom rishon shenimshach ad alayla mutar lachol b'layla mishalo vein tzarech chavra." That in a case where, for whatever reason, you didn't give the suda savra b'yom, and now it's already nighttime, so there's no further issur lachol mishalo slash there's no chiyuv of suda savra. So it says in other Yehuda, that's true if you got home b'yom, but if the kfur is balayla, so then the Isser Lachal Mishalo is on the next day. Meaning that's not considered. So that's the Yom Rishon for this purpose. The Yom Rishon is that night going to the next day. So then the Chiv Suda Savra would be that night going into the next day. So as long as the kfur was by Yom, so then the Chiyuv Vahavra the Yisrael Lechol Mishalo is only Bayom. And once you get to the nighttime, there's no further Isser slash Chiyuv. That's what's reflected in Sif Gimbal with the Shachs of Katan Hay. But the note Yehuda is talking about is if the Kura is Balayla, so then the calculation of the Isser Lechol Mishalo slash Suda Savra is that night going to the next. Now that comment that the Mordechai quoted from the Minhag of the Riva, that the Riva would lechachila fast on Yom Rishon, the Hagos Ashri quotes in Or Zarua that you're not supposed to allow an Avil to fast B'Yom Harisha. This is the rush in Simon Pei Tes. So the rush there in Simon, the Hagos Ashri on the rush, Simon Pei Tes says, Ein manichin es ha'avel es anos b'yom rishon, ela machilin ha'mashkin ha'so ha'filu b'tanis shalatnei Rosh Hashanah, Loiniach Rashbam Lis Anos B'Yom HaKfura. That you shouldn't allow the Avel to fast B'Yom Rishon. You should make sure that you feed them and that they eat. And the Rosh says over there, of course, Yerushalmi, Tava me'era l'shcheinem she'tzmichu la'avel l'achol mishalo v'lasos melacha. So it's the Yerushalmi has such a line, that's the responsibility of the neighbors to make sure that an avel isn't forced to eat mishalo, that he's provided with food to avoid him from violating the iser of being ochel mishalo. Meaning, what happens if no one provides a suda savra? So the Taz writes in Sifkat and Aleph, near the imlo shalchula oshu yichidu be'ir ein chayv litzar atzma shalelecho klau. The Mishum Hachi Kasav Kana Torah Shulchan Aruch the mitzvah shkeinav sheyachiluhu shaloyocha mishalo. She's a miyusar lechora. Ela kavana deikar mitzvah shkeinim Shlayigamu Shistarech Lechol Mishalo. Dimlo Yishalchulo Yellow Heter Lechol Mishalo Aide Hachrech. That's Lashon Mechaber. Mitzvah Shchena Sheyachilu Mishalahem Kedesh Shalayochal Mishalo. And that's what it sounds like for that Yerushalmi. Tava Me'era to the neighbors if they bring the oval to that point of having to eat Mishalo. But if push comes to shove, if he doesn't have any food to eat Mishalo Cheirim, then he doesn't have to fast. So you had the Riva, according to Mordechai, his own personal practice was Dafka to fast to avoid having to be Matriach or Minana from others. You have the Agos Asher B'Shem or Zeruah that you shouldn't allow the Avil to fast, even on Erev Hashanah where they're Minhagim to fast. You Dafka shouldn't allow the Avil to fast for reasons that we will get to shortly, possibly. But then if Lemaisa, if there's no Sudas available, so the halacha of the Taz says, based on that Yerushalmi that the Rush quotes, the Mashrosa Yerushalmi that the Rush quotes, that you don't have to fast if there's no other food available, and you can eat Mishalo if you have no choice. The Ramban argues on that. The Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, page Reish Beis, assumes, no, that if no one can provide food, so then you have to fast, then the Isser is in full force. And the Beis Yosef paskins not that way, again, based on Halacha Kedivrei Meikel, the Avil. Okay, so far we explained Yom Rishon is subject to Machlokas. Is it Sud the Rishon of the entire first day? We pass the Sud the Rishon up. Asur is subject to the Machlokas. Is it an absolute Isser under all circumstances, or if there's no other food available, can you eat Mishalo? And there we paskin, as the Taz says, that if push comes to shove, you could eat Mishalo if there's no Breira. Then the third item in that Memer of Rabbi Yehuda, that subject to Machlokes, is Lechem. Asur Lecho Lechem Mishalo. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, he thinks that Lechem is dafka, and the Isser doesn't apply to Shar Tafshila. So in theory, an Avil could eat Shar Tafshila Mishalo. The restriction is only on Lechem.
Yeah, does that mean Lechem that he baked himself, or that he owns?
No, that he owns. That the Isser, the Eat Mishalo, would be any Lechem that he owns. But not other food. And other achronim disagree. The Rishon quotes Shev Yehuda that it applies to other machalim as well. There's a tshuva of the Divrei Malkiel, Lam Jerav Chelik Beis. Simon Sadi Zion. He writes, "Is Mesopuk in Rashi Lachol Peros Alishtos Eza Mashka Mishalo Kodem Asuda?" So, are you allowed to have a snack, a fruit, or drink of your own food before the formal Suda Savra? That's Mishalo Cheir. L'chora Mashma the Shari. Because you learn it from Lechem and Ashim Lasochal. Mashma Dafka Lechem Velo Shar Dvarim. Doesn't it say that the Minog is that we are Mavre Bebeitzim Vadashim? That we provide, as part of the Suda Savra, eggs and lentils. So it sounds like Lav Dafka Lechem. So that's the case. If that's what we provide for the Suda Savar, presumably, whatever you provide for the Suda Savar are foods that you're not allowed to eat Mishalo. So apparently, it's not only Lechem that you're not allowed to eat Mishalo. So if that's the case, it should be usher to eat Peros as well. So he says, Lemaisa should be Mach. And they don't quote lechem as modifying that. He quotes that Sagir said many Rishonim, Yerushalmi. But he says maybe Ti'ima Ba'alma would be better because the Issa is only lechel, the Issa is not litom. Just as in many other areas of halacha where there's an Issa Achila before Ki'ima Mitzvahs and the like, there's no Isser to Ima. However, Minig Yisrael, as he notes, is that the Minig is not to be taught anything until the Suda Savra, and that is an appropriate Minig. And one of the rayas that the Dibur Malkiel brought is that which the Mordechai quoted from the Riva, that Riva fasted so that he should have to eat Mishal Acherim. So if it was mutter to eat fruit, then he should have eaten fruit. So it must be, the Riva also held that you're not allowed to eat anything. So bottom line, the Divya Melchiel thinks that the Isser applies lav dafka to lechem, but other food as well. In principle, maybe you could be making for Te'ima, which is a different halachic category than achila, but Yisrael Kedoshim Nagel L'Hachmer even on that. So the Maisa, you shouldn't eat anything before the Sudas Havra. You shouldn't eat anything Mishalo before the Sudas Havra. The Baal HaShulchan just raises the following in the Be'urim on page Kuf Yud. That one of the rayas that the Divya Melkiel brought was from the Riva, that if the Riva held that you're allowed to eat Peiros Mishalo, then why do you have to fast? So the Baal HaShulchan says, well, if you're going to learn from the Riva, you should also prove from the Riva that Tim was also Asa. The Lam Jarov wanted to distinguish between Achila, that's Asa for everything, and Tima, which is Mutter. But if Tima was Mutter, then the Riva should have been Toim, not have fasted totally. So he thinks that if you're going to learn from the Riva, you have to go all the way. Otherwise you can't... You can't have it both ways. He also points out the Baal HaShulchan that the Divya Melkiel quoted from the Geshe Rechayim that even though you're not allowed to be Ochel Shar Macholim, but you can be Mavdil Alakos Mishalo. I mean, you're coming back from the cemetery, let's say Sunday morning, the case where you didn't make Abdullah Moshe Shabbos. So now you're making Abdullah Sunday morning. So the Geshe Chaim says you can make Abdullah on your own wine. So the Baal HaShulchan says, how do you know? And the Shmir Shabbos is Taka Machmer on that. Shmir Shabbos Al Chasa, Perek Samach Dalet Siv Cafe, Perek Samach Dalet Siv Cafe. You come back from the cemetery. So you're supposed to make Avdala before you eat anything. But Shmir Shabbos says you should have someone else bring the wine. It shouldn't be your own wine. And the Pnei Baruch disagrees. Pnei Baruch, Perek Zayin, Sif Beis, he's makel that, no, this is nothing to do with the Isser of being Ochel Mishalo. That's discretionary food. But the Chiyuv Avdala, that's a mitzvah, that's a Chiyuv. So that you could have Mishalo. I'm not exactly sure what he means by that. Lemaisa, if you can't eat Mishalo, what difference does it make if you're fulfilling a chiyuv? But that's what he says. The way Rav Avadia says is that it's a shesia shel mitzvah. That maybe that's what the Bnei Baruch meant. That it's a shesia shel mitzvah. It's not discretionary, and therefore it could be Mishalo. But bottom line. So the Divrei Malkiel was makel on Te'ima. The Ba'al Yeshiva Shulchan thing said you should be machmer even on Te'ima. The Divrei Malkiel was makel in principle. He said you saw kedoshim or machmer or no, we do machmer even that. Ba'al Yeshiva Shulchan is machmer that you shouldn't be toeim or drink anything mishaloh before the Suda Savra. That's what Rav Shechter paskins as well, that you should be machmer even not to drink water mishaloh unless you're a chola or unless you're very thirsty. Rav Avadya's makel in Chelik Beis Yabi Omer Simon Cafe, Chelik Beis Simon Cafe in Chazon Avadya page Tuf Peites. Rav Avadya's makel on coffee, tea, and water that you could have mishaloh. But the general minhag is that as soon as you get back, as soon as the aval gets back from the cemetery, so right away they serve the Suda Savra, and you don't have to make cheshbon about eating anything else before that.
And maybe after that, because you pass in the rush, then it's not a problem either. Because you've already
had after that, you can eat anything you want, right? After that, there are no further restrictions. After that, Suda. The Ba'al Shulchan points out in Siyunim Tesvav that it's mashma from the Mishnah Brura that the Avra has to be Dafka Balechet. We were talking in the last few moments, the Isser Achila Mishalov, is that only Lechem or everything? So the Ba'al Shulchan points out it's mashma in the Mishnah Brura that the Suda Savra has to be dafka with lechem. You have to provide lechem for Suda Savra. What Mishnah Brura is this? So in Hilchos Pesach, Simen Tuf Ayin Aleph Sifkat and Kaf Beis. Tuf Ayin Aleph Sifkat and Kaf Beis. The Mishnah Brura writes that there's no Suda Savra in Erev Pesach. You come back as a Kfur Erev Pesach. There's no Suda Savra / there's no Isser Lechol Mishaloh, there's no possibility of a Suda Savra. Why? So the Shaar Tzion there writes in Sifkat and Kavav that in principle, this din, that there's no Suda Savra and Erev Pesach, that's only Min HaMincha L'Mala, because Min HaMincha L'Mala, you're not allowed to eat any Suda, Arvei Pesachim Samach L'Mincha L'Yochal HaShiyesev, in order to eat Matzah L'Teyavon. But in theory, in the morning, you could have had a Suda Savra with Matzah Shira. But our minhag is if you don't have Matzah Shira, all of Erev Pesach, and therefore you can't have a Suda Savra even Erev Pesach in the morning. So the Mishnah Brura says about the Shulchan seems to be assuming that in order to have a Suda Savra, you have to have Lechem, or at least if Matzah Shira isn't Lechem, possibly Bekisnin. But you have to have lechem or a lechem derivative in order to have a Suda Savra. So the fact that Mishnah Brura says, because our minhag is not the Matzah Shira, so there's no hechatimsa of having a Suda Savra in Erev Pesach, even in the morning, that sounds like you have to have lechem or at least possibly bekisnin in order to be mekayim the Sudas Havra.
Can you just say that there's no avelus in Erev Pesach?
There's no, yeah, but the Mishnah Brura says even Erev Pesach in the morning, there's no Suda Savra.
Okay.
Any question?
Yeah.
Just on the whole din in general, what's the kind of underlying, Tom, why he shouldn't eat his own?
Good. Okay. So that's an excellent segue into what I was about to talk about right now. Very good. So what are the sorrows for the Isra of being Ochel Mishaloh / the Chiyuv of Sudas Havra? So the Torah has a Lashon. What I'm quoting now, Divrei Sofrim has these Mar Makomos in Sifkat and Yud. There's a little piece in the Am Mordechai as well, the back of the Amordechai Moed has pieces on Avelis, the updated piece on Avelis on the back of the volume on Moed. So the Divrei Sofrim quotes at least three possibilities in Poskim as to what's the rationale for the Isra Lechol Mishaloh / the Chiyuv of Suda Savra. So the Torah has a lashon of Menachemin Tchila. That the Suda Savra is the initial form of Nichem Avela. So by other people providing food for the Avel, the Suda Rishona, that's a form of Nichem Avelim. The Levush writes like that, so it's a form of Nichem. Beis Yosef quotes in Ben Yerucham that we're worried that the Avel shouldn't be Mazik himself. He's in such a unsettled frame of mind that if you leave him his own devices, he's not going to take care of himself. He's not going to eat. He may end up getting physically harmed. So there's a chiyuv of the mavrin, the avel, to ensure that he'll be properly taken care of and he'll eat something and take care of his physical needs. And the Divrei Sofim Kosim Shevi Yehuda, almost the opposite, that we want to ensure that the avel eats and drinks in moderation, that if left his own devices, maybe he'll get drunk, and that's not covered a mace to go to that extreme. So you have the Beis Yosef Shem Ben Yerucham that we're worried he's not going to take care of himself at all. We want to make sure he eats something. And the Shevi Yehuda, the Divrei Sofim quotes, it says the opposite. Left his own devices, maybe he's going to get drunk to lose himself in a sorrow, and that would be inappropriate also. So that's why we're supposed to take charge and make sure that the Avel eats what's necessary in moderation. So if the concern when it comes to Suda Savra is that we're worried he shouldn't come to get drunk, so then you can understand that if an Avel says, I don't want to eat anything, that would be okay. Meaning if an Avel were to take the Riva approach for whatever reason, not necessarily for the Riva's reason, but take that approach that he wants to fast. So then if the reason is we want to make sure that he doesn't get drunk, so he's definitely not getting drunk if he fasts. And that would be acceptable. If the concern is that he shouldn't be mazik himself by not eating, or this is a form of nichum, so then maybe we'll tell the Avel you have no right to fast. That's what the Hagos Ashri quoted from the Or Zeruah, that he's not allowed to fast, even on a day where there's other people fast because of Minna, like Erev Rosh Hashanah. But if we're concerned that we want to make sure that he takes care of himself, we're concerned that, or this is a form of nichum, so then the Avel doesn't have the right to say that he wants to fast. And Rabbi Willie pointed out further, if the concern is Hezek, we want to make sure that he takes care of himself, so then it's Mistaber that may only apply during Suda Rishona. Once you make sure that he eats something during Suda Rishona, so we're not as worried what's going to happen the rest of the day. If it's a form of Nichum, so one could argue, doesn't have to be, but at least there's a Malkum to say, like those Rishonim, that the din of Suda Savra, actually Isit Lechal Mishalo, applies the entire first day, because that's a heightened form of Nichum that arguably could apply the entire first day. Rav Schechter points out the following. This is printed in Ginas Egos, Simin Kaf Vav. There's a machlokas we showed him how to understand the Mishnah on Daf Kaftal and Mubez. As far as the din of Suda Savra on Chol HaMoed, the Mishnah says, the bottom of Kaftal and Mubez, Ein Korin Velo Cholzin Vein Mavrin Ela Krovav Shel Meis Vein Mavrin Ela Al Mita Zekufa. So the Rambam understands, both in Perish and Mishnayos, and Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Gimel, that this Mishnah is going on Chol HaMoed. And the Mishnah's indicating that there's a chiyuv of Suda Savra even on Chol HaMoed. And the Smak understood that the Mishnah's talking Dafka B'chol, but not on Chol HaMoed. So Rav Shachter says that Machlokas may be whether Suda Savra is a din in Nicham Avelim, or is it a function of Nihuge Avelis? If it's a din of Nicham Avelim, so Nicham Avelim to some extent applies even on Chol HaMoed. There is a notion of Nicham Avelim on Chol HaMoed. Maybe we'll have time to get to that in subsequent Shiurim. But if it's a function of Nihuge Avelis, one of the Nihuge Avelis is that an Avel is not allowed to eat Mishalo. And the Suda Savra is just to practically compensate for the fact that he can't eat Mishalo, so you have to give him Mishal Acherim. But fundamentally, it's all Noveah from the Isser Lechol Mishalo. So that would, if that's Nihuge Avelis, then Nihuge Avelis wouldn't apply on Chol HaMoed. So Shachter points out, maybe that's the Machlokas Rishon, and whether the Mishnah on Kaftalim and Beis that allows for Mavrin, Krov Shalom Eis, is talking about Chol HaMoed or not. The Baal Yisholchan points out in Siyunim Sifkatan Hay, he quotes the Ramban B'Shem Meritzkeis. The Ramban, page Reish Dalet and Tarat Sabayis, quotes in the Meritzkeis. Makom Shenagu L'Nachem Avelim V'Beitzim V'Adashim Achilin. Where the minhag is to be Menachem Avelim with eggs and lentils, that's what you feed for Suda Savra. So that seems pretty clear that Suda Savra is a function of Nichem Avelim. Makom Shenagu L'Nachem Avelim V'Beitzim V'Adashim, that is the food of choice. And he points out, that's the Gemara in Bava Basra, Tazayin Amud Beis, that Yaakov Avinu made a tafsha shel adashim in order to be Menachem Yitzchak Avinu. And he also points out about the Yishalchan, Tshuva of Ramosha, Cheli Beis, Simen Kuf Samaches, Cheli Beis, Simen Kuf Samaches, that the Shoel was bothered or had tainas against what he presents as common practice to send food to Beis Avel, independent of the Suda Savra, general to send quantities of food to a Beis Avel. So the Shoel was bothered. Isn't that an Isser of Shiluach Matana to Avel? You can't send gifts to Avel. So Moshe says, maybe it's not right to do that, but he wouldn't call that a matana. He would, Moshe says, maybe that's a form of tanchumen, form of nichum avel, to send food to the Beis Avel. And that may be what's behind the Suda Savra, which we saw started with Lashon HaTor, Menachem Tfila, and now even the Ramban earlier, B'Shem, the Ritzkeis. And Rav Shachter says, further nafkamina, whether we look at Suda Savra as a function of Nichem Avelim versus Nihuge Avelus, is the question that we addressed earlier. Do you need to fast if there's no one there to provide a Suda Savra? If it's from Nihuge Avelus that it all stems from the Yisrael Echel Mishalo, then it's more reasonable that you'd have to fast if there's no Suda Savra available. If it's a function of Nichem Avelim, so if there are no Menachem and two Menachem, so then there's no restriction on your eating. And further, Nafkamina Rav Shachter says, can you prepare a Suda Savra ahead of time and leave on the Beis Avel? You know that they're going to come back from the cemetery in the afternoon. So can someone come and prepare the Suda Savra and leave it in the house in the morning, so that'll be ready when the Avelim come back from the cemetery? So if the Yisrael Echel Mishalo / Suda Savra is simply one of the Nihuge Avelis, so fine. So he can't eat Mishalo. However, the food gets there, it gets there, and he can eat Mishal Acherim. But if it's a din and tanchumin, so then you can't prepare it and leave it before. There needs to be someone who's presenting it, b'toras tanchumin. Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Why would we have such a big hakpada about Nichum Avilim to the extent that when we make an Isser on the Avil?
You're saying if it's all Nichum Avilim driven, so how is that so strong that we create an Isser Lechol Nishalot? So maybe... maybe that's to drive the, you know, this is a super heightened kind of Nichum Avelim. So we want to ensure that it's going to be properly executed. So we impose this Issa Drabanan on the Avel Lechol Nishalo in order to ensure that there'll be proper Tanchumen. Because otherwise the neighbors will shirk that responsibility.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
That's a question though?
Yeah, Gabe.
And Rav Schechter is like chakiria between if it's nichum avelim or if it's a nihug avelis. Mm-hmm. So does a nihug? I mean, the divrei Sofen had two. He gave three like potential reasons for the din, but none of them really seem to be nihug avelis so much. So is this like a fourth option?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Rav Schechter like cites like a, this is his chiddush that could be nihug avelis or.
I think so. I mean, that's how we understood the smack and that Mishnah Kaf Daled. Yeah. Okay. Let's try to do one more quick subtopic. Also in Shin Ayin Ches, and that's the din of Shmua Bebeis Avel. The Gemara has on Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Ein omim shmua v'agad v'beis avel. You can't recite a sugya agadata in a beis avel. Amar olav v'rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel shaya omir shmua v'agad v'beis avel. So you can't recite shmua v'agada, and Chananya ben Gamliel did. Says the Rambam Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Tes. Ein omim shmua v'agad v'beis avel al yosh ben David. You're not allowed to recite a sugya agadata in a beis avel. Rather, you sit silently. We'll see, this is a theme in Rambam in a few areas of the Nihugei Avelis, where sitting silently is a theme and underlines some of the other Nihugei Avelis. That's what Rambam says. You can't recite Sugyas, Agadot, and Beis Avel. Rather, you have to sit silently. Says the Mechaber, Siv Zayin, Ein Omer Shvuv Agadot Beis Avel, El Yosh V'domim. So Mechaber quotes Lashon HaRambam. Asks the Rashash and that Gemara and Daf Kaf Gimel, why are we passing like Tana Kama? What about Alacha Kedivre Mekel Ba'avel? So why don't we pass like Rav Chananya Gamliel, who was Omer Shmua V'Gadata V'Beis Ha'avel? And the Rashash thinks that's the position of the Rush and the Riff, because the Rush and the Riff quote Rav Chananya Gamliel, so it sounds like they're quoting him Lahalacha. And the Rashash says Kim Dumani Shekei Noagin. Can the money that the minig is to be mako on Shmua v'Igarata the base of it. And the Ramban thinks that this whole din of Ein Omen Shmua v'Igarata base Avel is really going on an earlier Gemara. This Gemara is a top of Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, the bottom of Kaf Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara has Chacham Shemeis Beis Midrash Abato, and various variations on that theme. If the Chacham passes away, his Beis Midrash is Bato. So the Ramban understood, as did the Ritva, that this din of Shmua V'Gadata Beis Avel, that's going on the Beis Midrash of the Chacham Shemeis. Then not only are you mevatel active shiur in the Beis Midrash Shemeis, but you can't even recite Shmua V'Gadata in the Beis Midrash Shel Chacham Shemeis. But there's no independent halacha according to Rambam the Ritva that you're not allowed to recite Shmua V'Gadata in a Beis Avel per se. However, that's not what it sounds like with Shulchan Aruch. Now it sounds like in the Rambam, that's what the Baal Shulchan points out, page Kuf Kuf. Mechaber just wrote Lashon Rambam. Ein omim shmu v'agadata v'beis avel el yoshvim v'domim. So the Aruch HaShulchan is bothered. Shin ayin ches sif tes. Yesh the tmo al minagenu. Shakama loandim mishnayis the besa avel. The gam gemara loandim anshe chevra shas kishamei sayame chevra. Ulevadze ein shim tam lama lo yilmodu acherim besa avel. Ad rabbi choshin zelos chas nishmasa. So we understand that there is an isra tamatorf in avel. But minag olam says the Aruch HaShulchan is that, forget about the Avil, but other people learn in a base Avil. They learn Mishnayos, they learn Gemara, that's chus for the Nifter. So isn't that against this din of Asulomar Shmua Vagadata Beis Avil? The Aruch HaShulchan says, it must be, we assume, like what we just quoted from the Ramban and the Ritva, that this din is going on a Chacham Shemes, base Midrasho Avil, base Midrasho Batel, but it doesn't apply to a regular base Avil. And the Baal Yishulchan writes, Sifkata Nun Aleph, it must be, quotes a Sefer Imre Baruch, not Rabbi Simon, that if it's something that helps us, it's Kusvin Neshama, it must be it's Mutter, that the Isser is Stam to learn a base Avil. But if it's for Kusvin Neshama, it should be Mutter. That must be the basis of Minhag Olam. And that's what the Divrei Sofim quotes as well, Sifkata Nun Dalid, as the basis for Minhag Olam. Says Rav Avadya, Chazon Avadya, that maybe we could be mastic the minute to be makel to learn Mishnayos and Beis Avel with the following. Number one, halacha k'divrei makel l'avel like the Rashash asks, so really we should pass like the Rav Chanina v'Gamliel. Number two, maybe it only applies to, this whole din only applies even according to Tanakama to Tamachachim Shemes Beis Bedar Shabbatah. And number three, it's a chus for the neshama. And Rav Avadya writes, better that you should learn Torah in a beis avel than you should be marben espedim b'divrei sheker. But Rav Avadya says, even so, better to learn divrei musar, which is mutter even for an avel, than to learn mishnayos. So Rabbi Willing points out, so even if you'll accept these kulas, but that only helps for the other people. It doesn't help for the avel. What's the heter to allow an avel to be present if you're learning Mishnayos in a base avel? So both Rav Shechter and Rabbi Willa quote from the Rav. Rav Shechter has this printed in Nefesh Harav, page Reish Nun Gimel, that the Rav thought that there is a unambiguous Isser Talmud Torah in a base avel, independent of the Isser Talmud Torah for an avel himself. But there's a din in the base avel, that there's an Isser Talmud Torah in a base avel. And therefore, there's no heter for learning Mishnayos in a base avel. Rav Shechter has in Divrei Harav, page Reish Kav Zayin, that the Rav once advised one of his Talmidim who was sitting Shiva and couldn't prevent the people there from learning Mishnayos, that he should leave. If they want to learn Mishnayos, let them stay, and you, the Avil, get out of there. So Rabbi Willig says that if you're going to insist on learning Mishnayos in a base Avil, so then you should learn Pirkei Avos, because Pirkei Avos is Dirbei Musar. That would not fall under the Isser of Talmud Torah and Avil, wouldn't fall under the Isser of Talmud Torah, the base Avil. So I had this a couple months ago. I was at a base Avil locally, and someone asked me, one of the Avelim asked me if I would mind learning Mishnayos during B'tu Mincha Maariv. So I said, I'd be happy to learn Mishnayos. Let's learn Avos. And he said, no, we have a book here with Mishnayos, letters of the Nifter. We'd like to just follow the book. So he found someone else to learn the Mishnayos. So that is, it is Minhag Olam, but it's questionable. It's questionable what the basis is. Yeah.
What's this idea that Avos is different than like other Mishnayos? I mean, it's
Musar.
But it's also a Mishnah.
It is a Mishnah, but Avos is allowed to learn every Musar. We'll talk about that when we get to the Isser Talmud Torah.
So could there be other Mishnayos that also have Musar messages, like the last Mishnah Menachos, let's say? Or
so maybe you could carve out two lines from Mishnah here, two lines from Mishnah there, but the only place that you can easily go straight would be Avos.
Would there be Mishnahs and Avos that would be also learned if they did not have a Musar component to them?
Maybe Parakei, I hear. Okay, maybe. Fine. So let's stop here for today. So we're behind because we weren't able to have shiur yesterday. And we need to fit in two more shiurim before Shavuos. So the options are either we could have another shiur tomorrow on Zoom and a shiur in person on Wednesday, or we could have two shiurim in person on Wednesday.
What does that mean?
It could either mean 3 to 4:15 and 5:15 to 6:30, or if it could be any time in the morning, it could be in the morning if people don't have shiur in the morning this week and you want to do it, at 12 and then at 5:15 or 1.
I usually defer to Gabe in these decisions.
I would do tomorrow and Wednesday.